thank you all for coming this afternoon. I have to admit that as I stand here holding this decision, I'm reminded of a line that Woody Allen once uttered. He said, "I have taken a course in speed reading and I've read War and Peace in 20 minutes. It's about Russia." Well, we've had about 2 hours to read this. It has nothing to do with Russia, but it certainly has a great deal to say about the future of our company, our industry, and competition law here in Europe. I thought I would offer a few initial comments, and then, as you heard, I'd be happy to answer your questions. First, I do want to start, as I did this morning, by conveying our thanks and gratitude to the Court of First Instance. Obviously, and not surprisingly, the decision is a disappointing one for Microsoft, but that doesn't change in any way, shape, or form our appreciation for all of the time and the energy and the study that has gone into these issues, both in Luxembourg and in Brussels. We were pleased, of course, with the decision in terms of the issues relating to the trustee, and at the same time, we would be the first to acknowledge that that was not the most important part of the case. It certainly wasn't for us. I don't think it was for others in our industry. I think that the first and most important question for us to address as a company this afternoon is what we are and will do to ensure that we comply with this decision. You know, we're 100% committed to complying with every aspect of the Commission's decision. Let me walk through a few aspects of what has happened to date and the issues that will still need to be sorted out, hopefully quite quickly. As you all know, this decision fundamentally focuses on two things: the integration of Windows Media Player and the interoperability issues and the compulsory licensing of Microsoft's communications protocols, especially in the server market. When it comes to the media player side of the case, we have had on the market here in Europe for over 2 years a version of Windows that fully complies with the 2004 decision. And I haven't heard anyone express any view to the contrary with respect to that. We offered Windows XP version N, we offered Windows Vista version N, and obviously, as a result of today's decision, both of those versions will continue to be offered to PC manufacturers and consumers throughout Europe. With respect to interoperability, a great deal of work has been done. I'd even go as far as to say that some progress has been made, and yet we'd also have to acknowledge that there are some issues that remain open and that we'll wish to address as quickly as possible. It has not always been an easy process in terms of developing, creating, and publishing the technical documentation that is required by the decision. I think to some degree that reflects the unprecedented nature of that obligation. But I do feel good that I can stand here today and say that I believe we have available today a complete and accurate set of technical specifications. They are being used by licensees. I hope they will be used by even more licensees in the months ahead. There are a couple of issues that do need to be sorted out, and as I said, I hope we'll be able to sort those out quite quickly. One is the pricing for our communications protocols. As you all know, the Commission expressed the view earlier in this year that our prices were too high. We dropped our prices at that time. If the Commission feels that our prices are still too high, we'll of course want to understand that very quickly so we can address it. The current price for protocols that are incorporated into products distributed in Europe is 1% of the revenue generated from the product. That's obviously quite a bit lower than it was before. And as I said, we'll be very focused on addressing that quite quickly if there's a need to do so. And there's also questions relating to trade secrets and the protection of trade secrets and the way our protocols are implemented in other people's source code. And that too is something that may need to be sorted out. Again, if possible, hopefully as quickly as we can. I do think that when one receives a decision like this, it's important to think about the specific obligations that a company like ours has under the 2004 decision. And I also think we have to think about the message in a more general sense, at least the message that is being conveyed to us as a company. And we have strived over these last years to do that, and there well may be the need to take additional steps because of today's decision. I was heartened by the fact that the decision acknowledged that it is appropriate and lawful for us as a company to offer and to continue to offer the full version of Windows here in Europe. And from that perspective, we can go forward and continue to offer to our partners and to consumers the best technology that we can create. At the same time, it's clear that the decision has important implications for additional offers we may need to provide, offers like Windows N, for example. I also think that it's worth reflecting on the fact that in this area, as in many in life, it's not necessarily the case that one answer is the right answer for all situations. I actually think that one of the most important steps taken the last 2 years was the discussion, the dialogue, if you will, that we had with the European Commission around the creation of Windows Vista. There were new issues that needed to be addressed in Windows Vista, issues that we acknowledged we needed to address under the contours of the 2004 decision. A good example was security. It was readily acknowledged that consumers would benefit if Windows were made more secure. And we had a very constructive dialogue with the Commission on that point, and it was a dialogue that enabled us to improve the security of Windows and yet build in more choices so that computer manufacturers and consumers who wanted to use someone else's security features instead could do so more easily. That may be a sign of one type of dialogue that it will be productive for us to have in the months and years ahead. We'll have to see. And if today's decision has important messages on product integration, it also obviously has important messages on interoperability. I actually think that when it comes to interoperability, the world, our industry, and our company have changed enormously since 1998 when we received the letter from Sun Microsystems. We've sought to take to heart the message that the Commission conveyed in the 2004 decision. So, for example, in 2005, when Nokia came to us and asked to license the communications protocols in Microsoft Exchange that communicates with phones, we readily agreed to license that technology. And if you buy a phone from Nokia today, you will buy a phone that has that technology from Microsoft implemented in it. We've done this in many other instances with many other companies here in Europe and around the world. And indeed, it is perhaps a bit ironic that 9 years and 2 days after we received that first letter from Sun, I also stand here just a week after we announced a new agreement with Sun, focusing, among other things, on improved interoperability with respect to new forms of server technology. If you look at the companies that we've sought to partner with around the world with respect to interoperability, it clearly is a different industry today. We clearly are a different company today. The list starts with companies like Sun and Novell and Nokia, but it includes a wide variety of hardware manufacturers, a wide variety of device manufacturers, and a wide variety of software developers, literally located around the world. It is clear to me that we will press forward and we will take new steps to broaden our interoperability partnerships with others in our industry. And we look forward to taking those steps not in months and years, but in the weeks to come. In conclusion, I would say that this case has always been about many things. And you all in this room who've written about it over the years know that as well as I do. Certainly for us at Microsoft, one of the things it's always been about is trying to build a better relationship with the European Commission and stronger ties with Europe as a whole. The decision is not what we would have hoped for, and to say anything less would be less than candid. But it does provide us some new clarity, and on that clarity, I hope we can start to build a new and stronger relationship with the European Commission. Despite the 9 years of sometimes tense discussions and adversarial processes, I feel good that we've always maintained a professional relationship founded on genuine respect and appreciation for the public servants who work here in Brussels. And just as our relationship with the Commission is important, our ties with Europe are more important still. It is remarkable, as I mentioned this morning, that when this case started, Microsoft was spending only $3 million a year on research and development in Europe. I think one might fairly ask what took us so long. I am pleased today that we spend almost $500 million a year on R&D in Europe, and that number clearly is going to continue to rise. Based on any measure you may wish to select, whether it's the number of language versions we support, the number of people we employ, or the number of companies with whom we partner, our ties in Europe have never been as broad or as deep as they are today. And yet I can say with full confidence that 1 year from now and 5 years from now, they will be broader and deeper still. No court decision, whether it had been positive or disappointing, can stand in the way of that. So thank you. I'd be happy to answer your questions. I'm hoping that Tom's going to decide who. A lot of hands up.
Yeah, thanks very much. Sorry. We'll take the first one in the middle here. So, on you again.
Just wondering if you're going to appeal.
We have not made that determination. We barely finished reading the decision once. This is the kind of decision one needs to read a few times and one needs to reflect upon before making that kind of decision. We have plenty of time for that kind of thinking. So it's not something I want to address today.
Okay, thanks very much for that. Matt, I think you have one.
Matthew Newman from Bloomberg. Just a quick question about where you think the other complaints that have been filed against Microsoft are going to go now that the Commission has a pretty good precedent behind them. And if you had any kind of contacts with the Commission or Commissioner Neelie Kroes today, any kind of words exchanged?
I did call the Commission this morning to convey my congratulations for those portions of the decision which they won, which were considerably longer than the portion that we won. I won't describe anything further or even who I spoke with, but I did think it was important and appropriate to do that. There is only one other complaint that has been filed to date with respect to Microsoft at the Commission. That's was filed, as you know, by a group that represents IBM and one or two other companies. They were very focused on requiring that we license other communications protocols relating to our SharePoint server, communications protocols relating to Exchange server and some other products. We have conveyed our willingness to license those technologies. And I just think as a matter of business policy and approach to the industry, we are prepared to license to others in our industry on reasonable and non-discriminatory terms the technologies that are important to interoperability. And if there are specific questions that people have, I hope they'll come to us. They can always go to the Commission first if they wish, but I actually think we'll make more progress if they come to us. We're open for business when it comes to licensing technology and intellectual property rights that are important for interoperability.
Thomas Miglierina, Swiss Broadcasting Corporation. A question and clarification. The clarification is the fact that you're going to take additional steps to comply with the decision doesn't mean that you withdraw your right of appealing, if I understand well, from the previous answers. And the second thing, if I understand, from what we heard from Commissioner Cruz this morning, this has a lot to do with your dominance market with that famous 95% of personal computers, if I remember well, that run on Windows. And do you expect then your dominance of the market to decrease, maybe at least in Europe or in general, as a result of this decision?
Well, first of all, I'm not saying anything today on appeal, whether we'll do it, whether we won't file. We just need to think about this. You know, and it's a serious and substantial decision, and it deserves serious thought. Rather than an instantaneous decision on what to do about something like an appeal. I do think that there are always important questions under competition law about how one thinks about the goals of competition policy. I completely agree with the proposition that the purpose of competition law is to promote choice, to protect consumers, and to encourage us all to offer better products. I hope that Microsoft and other large companies will continue to have the opportunity to offer better products to consumers. And I hope that consumers will continue to have the opportunity to choose our products if they believe that we genuinely provide the best offering on the market. Market shares tend to go up and they tend to go down, and sometimes they fluctuate a lot and sometimes they fluctuate a little. But the rules of the road do need to stay constant. Today's decision helps specify what some of those rules are. But genuinely, I believe that these are rules that speak more to how one competes than who should win the race. Let me first say I've had a chance to be in touch with a few folks back in Washington State, where it's about 6 o'clock in the morning, but people are just getting up there and they haven't yet had an opportunity to even read as much of this as we have. We have always tried to explain, sometimes successfully and sometimes less so, that there is a tremendous amount of energy, time, and creativity that goes into the creation of these technologies. I mean, this is not a telephone book. It is over 8,000 pages of technical specifications that took us millions of dollars to develop. The documents themselves represent intellectual property in the form of patents, in the form of copyrights, and as today's decision reflected, trade secrets that under the 2004 decision are also accorded the same weight as those other intellectual property rights. Telephone companies, in fact, are typically permitted to recoup costs when they engage in genuine innovation and investment. Of course, it also has to be a system that works for everyone. The prices have to be prices that are reasonable, hence the requirement in the 2004 decision. And they have to be offered on a non-discriminatory basis. But the decision itself did not specify that the only reasonable price was zero. And so our goal is to be in complete compliance with this decision. We will look to the commission, among others, for guidance. We want to do the right thing. But I'm not necessarily here to urge us and other large companies in our industry to all sign up for the proposition that innovative technology should be free simply because it may be relevant to interoperability.
So you're committed to charging?
I'm committed to complying with the commission's decision. That's what I'm committed to doing.
David, how swiftly do you think you could take these additional steps you talked about to comply with the original March 2004 decision? And do you fear that
look, it's not our desire, and it is not our goal to have continued arguments or disputes. We want to move forward, and we want to move forward in compliance with the 2004 decision. There are a number of things that are not spelled out explicitly in the decision itself. I'm hopeful that we can have the kind of conversation that will enable us to know with confidence what we must do and what we also can do in other areas. And I'm hopeful that we can do that very quickly. And I would underscore that I'm hopeful that we can take not only the kinds of steps with respect to something like pricing, but also pursue other initiatives with others in our industry. The kinds of initiatives that will make clear and real our commitment to work with the rest of the industry to promote interoperability.
Yes, I have a question. You were stressing also the good relation, this part of the whole theme here, with the Commission. But today in the press conference, Mrs. Cruz used rather hard words. I mean, maybe you heard about that, to Microsoft. And she was saying that today's verdict is sweet and bitter, because on the one hand, of course, confirms Commission's position, but on the other hand, confirms also the serious damage which the illegal behavior of Microsoft brought to both business and consumers. Can you just comment on this kind of commentaries, Mrs. Cruz?
Well, I don't want to get in a debate with anyone at the Commission. I would point out that we continue to work in a very dynamic industry. Now, the media player issue was fundamentally about the future of digital media. Look at the world of digital media today. Apple has something on the order of a 70% market share for digital music. iTunes is far and away, you know, the leading source for music on the internet. The iPod is far and away the leading hardware device for digital music. Adobe Flash is far and away the leading internet-based technology for the streaming of media, which was, in fact, the very issue that was the focus of the 1998 complaint that started a lot of the media player issues. So I'd actually look at that part of the market and suggest that the market is moving forward. Consumers are benefiting from a lot of choice. It's true that Apple doesn't license its communications protocol for the iPod or iTunes, but despite that, it certainly doesn't appear that the market's been held back by Microsoft's incorporation of Windows Media Player. Similarly, I'd look at the server market, and Windows Server has done well, but Windows Server has not grown as quickly in recent years as Linux has. You know, so you know, it's a dynamic market, and new entrants have entered the market. You know, they've done well, and I expect they will continue to do so. None of that is intended for a moment to suggest that we can afford to fall short of our obligations under this decision. We need to live up to the kinds of obligations that the court reflected upon and that Commissioner Cruz reflected upon, and we are committed to doing so.
I'll just take one question that came in over the mail. Would you expect the trustee decision to affect past and future non-compliance fines?
I've had the chance to read the trustee portion of the decision once, and I'd like to read it more than once before reflecting on what that means for the nature of any process or the future. I think Commissioner Cruz had a similar comment. We all need to read this, and we need to think before we formulate opinions and decisions.
You said that a decision actually doesn't mean that you have to charge zero for your server software protocols, but the Commission claims that the criteria the Commission would apply have been upheld by the court. Would you see this differently?
Well, I should be clear, really, on two things. First, with respect to the interoperability information and technology and intellectual property rights in this decision. I was not talking before about the decision. I was talking about interoperability technology in general. We will look to the guidance of the Commission, and we will absolutely listen as carefully as possible to the guidance we receive. I mentioned that we had dropped the price quite substantially, and if that price is, in the Commission's view, still too high, then it will be very important for us to understand what price is low enough so that we can conform with all of our obligations. There's a lot more to the world of interoperability information and technology than the information and technology in this decision, and I was talking more broadly before. So I'm not trying to rule out anything, neither am I trying to rule in anything. I do think that with respect to this decision as a whole, we are all going to have ample opportunity to think both about what it means for Microsoft and what it means for our industry and every other industry in the world. Now, I think the decision very clearly gives the Commission quite broad power and quite broad discretion. There are many companies in our industry that have a very large market share. You know, people talk about Windows with 95%, or people talk about our server share, which people often put somewhere between 60 and 80%. And yet, as I mentioned before, Apple has a 70% share, you know, for digital music here in Europe. Google has somewhere around a 70 or 80% share for search. And in some countries in Europe, it has over a 90% share for search. IBM has somewhere between a 99 and 100% share for mainframe computers in Europe and in the world. Information technology tends to be an industry that is characterized by successful companies having large market shares. And sometimes those market shares last, and in many other instances, they're fleeting. It is very clear that we all have the need to look to Europe and to the European Commission under the terms of this decision. And it's equally clear to me that this decision will occupy, as it should, the thoughts and discussion of many people, not just in the weeks ahead, but in the months and years to follow. It is one of these decisions that has that kind of extraordinary impact. So, thank you very much.